do a little bit better every single day. And for some reason, that has just been a refrain in my mind for weeks. If I just do a little bit better today than I did yesterday, then eventually I'll get there. You know, I don't need to be perfect today. I just need to be a little bit better today than I was yesterday. I know you were hoping to hear the loud cackle of my podcast co-host, Patrick. This is your first ever episode. This is The Crunch. It's a Catholic comedy podcast where me and my buddy Patrick laugh and joke about the world, the Catholic Church. We joke about each other. We like to tell stories and generally weigh in because we, as two guys who both have young children, we kind of know what's right and what's wrong just objectively. And so we've been doing this for many, many years. But this week, speaking of children, our good friend, neighbor, podcast lover boy, Patrick Nevy and his wife Phoebe welcomed their new baby girl into the world, Josephine. If you have not seen on the Discord at bit.ly/crunchdiscord, Patrick in the Town Square channel just posted a beautiful picture of his new baby girl, and he's out on the podcast for this week. And so he said to me, Ethan, I got a baby. I got a problem, baby. It's a baby problem. And I was like, what's good? What do you need? He goes, I can't podcast this week. I was like, all right, fair. He's going to be back next week. At least so he tells me, but everyone's healthy. Phoebe's doing great. I think I can tell this. Maybe I can tell this information. I don't know, but we'll have to hear the full story from Patrick. But what I've heard is that their time at the hospital from when they got there to when the baby was out was 17 minutes. Insane. Absolutely crazy. So pray for them. Keep them in your prayers. It sounds like everybody's doing well. Baby's healthy. Mom's healthy. So, but the downside of new life is audio pain for you. You get to be with me for the next 30 to 40 minutes. I don't want to do it too long. I don't have a script. I feel like if you don't have a script, you shouldn't podcast ad infinitum. But I've got some talking points. I've got some things that I've looked up. I'm actually going to pull up my notes right here so that I don't forget anything. Patrick did a solo episode when I was unavailable a couple weeks ago. I was traveling for my brother's wedding, and it just wasn't going to work out timing-wise with all the things going on the week of the wedding. And so Patrick went solo, and he did a podcast on apologetics. And I am going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to give you guys some updates, some thoughts on some things that have been happening lately. But I would like to spend this podcast discussing a frequent topic of this podcast through the years has been kind of the secular world. Where is it too much? Where is it not enough? How do we take what's good about what's out there without letting it poison you? You know, I came out very aggressively about Harry Potter at one point. I've come out very aggressively against hip hop music. I've also been very aggressive towards television, social media, X, the everything app. Although I'm back on X, I'm grokking it up every day. And the topic of today's show, the noble sport of football. Now, some of you might be thinking, Ethan, please don't talk about football for the whole hour. I'm not going to. But I'm going to tell a story that I think will maybe help provide some clarity around my renewed stance on football and why, how I've changed. I'll tell you another way that I've changed. I threw my back out last week. Like my dad. I always thought that when I was a kid, one time my dad threw his back out in the middle of the night. I was in fourth or fifth grade. He like bent down to open the toilet because he was taking an old man dump. And this was at, I don't know, 2 a.m. I don't know why my dad's pooping in the middle of the night. He's always had issues. So he leans down to the toilet, tries to grab the seat, back goes out, he falls to the ground, he's stuck in the bathroom, can't turn around, still has to poop, right? Calls out for my mom. Janice, help me, help me. She helps him, right? They get him a chair. He can't stand up, right? He has a serious, it's like his back seized up in this moment. Thankfully, he did not poop his pants. He made it to the hospital. He had to kneel in the Honda Odyssey in the back seat illegally, I might add. When I was 12, I was very concerned that my father did not have his seatbelt on. But he was kneeling in the back seat of the Honda Odyssey. My mom drove him to the hospital. They gave him morphine. And for like a day, he was addicted to drugs, but then he got off of it, which is great. More power to my dad, sobriety ever since then. Very proud of him. But I always thought this was funny because I was like, dad's back went out that one time and he had to, you know, crawl to the hospital on all fours. And then they gave him the happy pills. And I was like, that could never happen to me. Last week, I'm ill, right? I contract some type of virus. I don't know. It could have been anything. It could have been long COVID. It could have been regular COVID. It could have been the common cold. It could have been the flu. I just had a head cold. I was, you know, coughing, headache, runny nose, sore throat, the whole shebang. I'm ill Wednesday. I'm recovering Thursday. I feel better on Friday. Friday, a beautiful morning. I'm like, it's that great feeling where you feel like you feel like a king, where you've been sick for a few days and then you come back and like you're not sick, and it's that like free, it's like getting out of jail for the first, or like when you break up with a girl that you don't want to date anymore and you just are like, you're so free. You're like driving down Merlin after you end this relationship and you're listening to CDs that you burned from your iTunes playlists. You're listening to Data Life. I was a big Data Life kid back in high school. Anyway, so I'm listening to Data Life, and I'm the sickness is over. I go on a walk on Friday morning. I pray the rosary. I'm feeling good. The sun is out. It's starting to get a bit cooler in the mornings. I come home. I crack open a right-wing history book. Oswald Spengler's The Decline of the West. I'm like, man, I'm having such a great morning. I'm going to read a little bit before I start working. Peter's still sleeping. You know, Emma's over there. She's making herself breakfast, whatever she's doing. She's on her own. I'm going to read for a little bit, read for maybe like 10 minutes, get a little Spengler in before I start my work day. Here I am thinking that I'm going to be, you know, electric on Friday. I'm sitting down. I open the book. I get about two sentences in to old Ozzy. I cough because I'm still recovering. So I cough like that, and I'm sitting up, you know, I don't know exactly where I'm sitting up. I'm like this, I cough, and it like, because you tense your stomach when you cough. I don't know if you guys know about this. My back, I must've pinched a nerve or something, but the same thing that happened to my dad when he was trying to take his old man 2 a.m. dumper. My back seizes up. I fall to the ground. I feel myself farting. I'm concerned that I'm going to poop my pants, and it's all flashing back. I'm like, no, I can't be like my old man dumps. That's what I call my dad now, is old man dumps. And I'm on the ground, and I'm swearing, and Emma's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, what do you think? I'm in massive amount. Do I ever talk like this? You know, I'm in massive amounts of pain. And she's coming over. She's like, how can I help? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like stuck. I like can't move. I was like legit. It hurts so bad. I actually don't think I've ever experienced this much pain before in my life. And I'm just stuck there, and I have to eventually like roll onto my back, and I'm stuck on my back. I can't move. We try to slide. Our son has a bear. Did I tell this story on the podcast already? Not important. Our son has a bear, and we heat up the bear, and the bear goes under my back and it hurts. And I'm just having a terrible, terrible time. My wife has to get me up onto the couch and then eventually up the stairs, and I have to work from my bed like a sickly Victorian child. You know, like you remember reading those stories about like how Charles Dickens, when he was a boy, he had TB, not Tom Brady. He had tuberculosis, and he had to, and it used to have to, used to be when you got sick, it's like some kids got sick back in the 1700s and they would just die. And then the other kids, like the white kids, would get to be sick in bed, and they would be sick. I remember reading stories. I don't know who it was. Maybe it was John Brown. Maybe it was Abe Lincoln. Someone was sick. Maybe it was Willy Wonka. I don't know who it was, but someone was sick and laid in bed for like a year, and all they did was read the Bible. You know, you just read it cover to cover. And it's like, it's just all you had to do was you just would get sick and the doctor would be like, lay in bed. And people would just lay it. They were just bed. You, nowadays we have bed rotting where you're like on the phone. They used to do that. It'd be like, they would be like laying on their bed at the end of a long day of laying in their bed. And they'd be like, time to read the Bible. They get all excited. It's like us going through TikToks at the end of the day. Anyway, so they would bed rot. And that was me. I was bed rotting. I was working. And I was miserable, but I get better, right? I get better. And it's Wednesday this week. I go to play basketball. I said, one of my goals at the beginning of the year, if you went and you listened back to our first podcast of the year, goals for the year was I was going to start playing basketball with my friends. I did it on Wednesday, which was yesterday. Two buddies and me, we go to an outdoor court at 6 a.m. and we play basketball. My back had healed up enough. You know, I'd spent some time laying, alternating Tylenol, ibuprofen. I didn't take enough at one point to actually get high, which I was trying to do. I would try to go sneak into the bathroom and pop some pills, but Emma would hear the bottle rattle and she'd rush in and smack them out of my hand and say, you're better than this. What can I say? I tried. Game respect game. She was a nurse. She knows all about patients trying to overdose, which is so funny because she was a nurse for babies. Just imagine, like, you see a little hand come up out of the crib to try and grab more morphine. Anyway, so I was better, right? Better Wednesday. I go to play basketball. I twist my ankle playing basketball, and not because someone crossed me up, because I sink a wet jumper off the baseline, and my ops plants his foot under my landing spot and I twist my ankle as I'm coming down. So I got the swollen ankle. I got the back is still kind of hurting. I'm not sick anymore, but I got the solo podcast and it's just, and there's a lot going on. I had to drive 2 hours today to get a table for my wife. We've got this project that we're doing that in the garage. It's taking up the whole garage. It's paint, it's furniture. It's a whole thing. It's just been a busy time, right? Which is why I was going to talk about a few other things, but this is a good transition point into my topic for today. Maybe I can get to the other things at the end of the show. There's a lot going on, which is why I'm excited for the fall. Specifically, I'm really excited for football. Now, don't get it twisted. I am not excited for the NFL. As far as I'm concerned, the NFL is not football. The NFL is a big show where you can watch ads and listen to some of the worst commentators in the sport. Like I absolutely despise listening to like Joe Buck. I despise listening to Tony Romo. Ever since John Madden tragically died. Is John Madden dead? John Madden dead. Look up John Madden dead. Oh, he died in 2021 on December 28th. Dang. Poor guy. John Earl Madden. J-E-M. Jim. Yeah, ever since he left, there's not... I mean, Al Michaels, maybe. You know, I can see kind of the classic... The Al Michaels. I'm not going to do it. The Al Michaels voice. Kevin Harlan. Kevin Harlan's a goat, though. He's great. We love Kevin Harlan. Anyway, I'm getting off track. I don't like the NFL. I don't like it as a product. I don't find it to be interesting sports-wise. Like, from a competitive standpoint, there's nothing about professional football that is in any way interesting. It's too sanitized. I hate the fact that have you ever looked at like the logos for NFL teams? The Giants logo. Imagine you're a team named the Giants and you're one of the great teams of the state of New York. Giants. Like, think about what a giant is. And your logo is just the letters of the state that you live in. It's just a big N and a big Y. Think about the Jets, dude, while we're at it. The Jets logo is just the word Jets. Like, this is why I don't have any respect for the NFL. It's just like they have this global brand, maybe global, you know, at least it's It's one of the biggest brands in America, the NFL, biggest products, Sunday pastime. And it's just like, it's disgusting the way that some of these teams are handled from a market. It could be so much more interesting. But they don't take any risks. You know, I don't like that. We could get into more about NFL another time. What I do love is college football, specifically Kansas State football. And that's where I went to school. And this has been a point of contention in my life for a long time. Because when I was a boy, I would watch Chiefs games with my family. You know, this is back when we were bad. We never won any Super Bowls or anything. So I would watch, because this is what we did on Sundays. We'd go to Mass, then we come home, we watch Chiefs game. I'd watch until halftime, then I'd go downstairs and I would play computer games. And then maybe I would watch the end of the game, you know. Or if it was like Monday Night Football, I'd stay up late, watch with my family, you know, Chiefs games. But the thing that was really, you know, I liked, but we never went to a Chiefs game. You know, I still to this day, I've never been to a Chiefs game. Grew up in Kansas City, never went. But the other thing that we always did was we always watched K-State sports. And K-State was interesting because Darren Sproles was the all-time, I think he still is the all-time leading rusher in Kansas State history. He was a part of the team that beat OU in the Big 12 championship in 2001 in a stunner. A team that was, you know, highly ranked. We had a great, great team that year. Yeah. So like I got to meet Darren Sproles one time and like it was at a barbecue restaurant in Kansas City. And this was when he played for the Chargers. So he got drafted out of college and I got to meet him because he was from Olathe, which is where I'm from. And my mom was like, "Hey, do you remember me?" And his family was all like, "Yeah, we do remember you." Like, and he was like one of the greatest K-State players of all time, ended up having a good career in the NFL. And so we'd always watch him. We always watch K-State. And then like later on, you know, we'd watch more. As I got closer and closer to college, it was somewhat less important because Saturdays kind of got taken up by, you know, debate tournaments and like that was my fault. I would never even thought about football when I was in high school because I had debate tournaments all throughout the fall, like every Saturday. And so, but then I went to school at K-State and it was big. It was huge. Every Saturday, the whole school, you know, you guys went to college, you guys know what it's like. It was an amazing experience. Loved it. And then I joined Focus after college and something broke in me in terms of my relationship with like sports and media. And you can probably go back and you can listen to it live in real time. I think I was going through a period where I was very on fire for the faith and I was very frustrated at the lack of community. And I was very frustrated at the lack of true friendships. I was very frustrated at the what I perceived to be like people not caring about me ultimately. Like it felt like people were more interested in, "Oh, sorry, Ethan, I can't come to your thing. The Ohio State Michigan game is on." Great game. Love it. I understand it. But like I was at the University of Tulsa and I was like trying to hang out with students. And I was trying to like make connections with them and build relationships with them. And it was never like, "Ethan, why don't you come watch Ohio State, Michigan with us?" It was like, "We can't come to your thing because we have to go watch this game." I started to just kind of grow like a little bit resentful that I was surrounded by simultaneously people who were completely out of the mainstream popular culture, like my other teammates at Focus. They were like not really connected at all. And like my students at Tulsa, who were all super plugged in, knew all the new music, knew all the, everything that was going on social media, knew everything that was happening with sports. And I just kind of felt stuck between these two worlds where I'm like, I'm inclined to go this way to be with my Focus team because it felt like the right thing to do, right? It's like, I'm here, I'm a missionary, I need to sacrifice some things. I need to call people higher to like a better activity. And that was a real challenge for me. For several years, I just didn't care. You know, it just completely got removed from my life. Fast forward, my son is born. again, I'm going through a hard time in a different way. I lose my job very suddenly, very traumatically. Things are going poorly. We're not getting sleep. We're stressed about money. The only thing I had that made any sense for me to like kind of latch onto in that moment, stupidly enough, was Kansas State football. Because this was 2022 season. They had done poorly for like the last several years. So like they had a good season, you know, 2018, 2019, and then the COVID season happened and they were really bad. And then 2021, they kind of came back. 2022 was a good season. Things were actually looking up. And I started to watch the games because things were really bad with work. You know, I was getting stressed out about, you know, moving into a new house. I was getting stressed out about being a dad. You know, my friendships were kind of all being shaken up. But all of a sudden, I'm like, this K-State team is on the path to winning the Big 12, you know, potentially being in a really high level bowl game. And I'm like, it like was getting me excited. I was like, I had something to look forward to every week. And I didn't realize that I would ever be in that kind of position where I would need something to like hold on to. You know, I've heard people say that before, but this is the first time I really experienced it. We had Deuce Vaughn, we had Will Howard, we had, you know, all these great, great guys. And I loved watching that team. And then they win the Big 12 and they go and they play in the Sugar Bowl against Alabama and they lose, obviously. But it just kind of relit something in me that I think is normal. And the more that I dove in to the story of Kansas State football, and I want to tell you guys a little bit about this, the more it has completely warped and changed my whole opinion. Because it's easy to look back at that and be like, well, that's just something I needed for that period of time. But now it's changed even more because I understand more of the history of what happened specifically at K-State. So if you guys will indulge me, I'd like to tell you a little bit of a story.
Phoebe, you know what I hate?
What do you hate?
Big tech.
Okay.
I live in constant fear of my precious Twitter account getting taken down because I don't own it. I like owning the places where my website is. And that's why the Crunch, I don't know if you know this, the Crunch website is hosted on Patmos. Are you familiar with Patmos?
I am not.
I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. Patmos is your island of refuge in the ocean of big tech. They provide top-notch web and app hosting services, hosting and API GPU services. And if you know what that means, tell me. That's awesome. I don't know if I should say that, but I'm not the techie guy. They handle all of our website stuff and it runs more smooth than it ever has in the past. All backed by no censorship guarantee. I know I can say anything I want on this podcast. I made a joke on the last episode, a little bit off color. I know that me saying something like that isn't going to get me thrown off the internet and our livelihood won't be taken away from us. You like feeding our children, right?
I enjoy that very much.
Thanks to Patmos, I can safely feed my children ongoing. They offer unbeatable pricing and security from the ground up because they own the dirt that their servers sit on. They own everything that your stuff is hosted on. And I get the best service because I have like an actual person to talk to. Her name's Camilla. She's great. And they never offshore or sub out work. Everything is done in-house by them. There's just no better value in tech services than Patmos. I'm being honest when I say that. They've taken such good care of us. Whether you want to build an awesome new app or a website or host your current site, all you need to do is reach out to Patmos at patmos.tech. They help businesses, missions, churches of all sizes accomplish their goals with great value and service. Tell them the Crunch sent you and you get 10% off your next web project or free hosting migration, whichever you need. That's patmos.tech, freedom as a service. Isn't that great, Bibi?
It's amazing.
I know, right? It's awesome. Thanks for joining me for the ad read. I love you. Hey, Phoebe. Do you remember when I crapped myself the first day I did Exodus 90?
I will never forget that.
So, hi, my name is Patrick Devy. I did Exodus 90 a couple of years ago, and I did poop my pants on the first day because I fasted and drank too much coffee. But did you know that Exodus 90 is not just about fasting and cold showers before Easter? Did you know that?
No, I didn't. Tell me more.
So they do a little thing called St. Michael's Lent that you can actually go sign up for now if you are a man and you're interested in getting yourself ready for Advent, getting yourself ready for Christmas. You can download their app and you can actually get their they have daily scripture meditations, prayers, reflections on getting closer to God as a man. They have also have a new course on the Eucharist just in time for now that we're after the Eucharistic revival. We can, you know, get closer to Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. If you go to exodus90.com/thecrunch, you can let them know that we sent you and you can enjoy the beautiful prayers and courses they have available on there right now. It's exodus90.com/thecrunch. Thank you, Exodus 90, for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
I know I've been telling a story, but I'd like to tell a different story. So back in the 1980s, Kansas State was, you can look this up, the laughingstock of college football, bar none. The worst team in all of college football was Kansas State University. And I don't mean by like a little bit, like they were just last place. Like, I can't, it's a bit difficult. Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this. I'm going to describe this. They were the only team that had more than 500 losses in their entire program's history. The only one. The only one. It's just, oh, it's insane, right? They had, I think, in 1988, that was like their fourth winless season in a row. Like they would go 0-1-10 or something like that. Like they lost every single game, or they would tie. You could tie back then. And so this is about the time when my parents are there. Actually, my parents were at K-State 1985 to 1989, in 1990. And the problem is that attendance was so low in the 1988 season that the athletic director was told by the NCAA, if you do not raise your attendance, you will be removed from the Big Eight. You will no longer be an FBS team. You will no longer be a Division One. I don't know exactly. They would be removed from the Big Eight, and they would no longer get to compete in the games. They probably just wouldn't have a football team anymore, right? They would just get rid of football. I don't know what that noise is. Can you guys hear that? Anyway, so the athletic director at the time, Steve Miller, he goes on a national hunt trying to find anybody who would coach here. Because they've been through like four head coaches in four seasons. Like it's just every year, it's a revolving door. Nobody can make heads or tails of the program. None of the players want to be there. The players are depressed, to be honest with you. And he finds the offensive coordinator at Iowa, a guy by the name of Bill Snyder. Now, Bill had been all over the place. He coached in high at the high school level, and then coached at like North Texas for a little bit, and then coached at he was at another school before then, like another smaller school. So like he was like a wide receiver coach and a quarterbacks coach, and then he got an offensive coordinator job with Kirk Ferentz, who's still the head coach at Iowa at Iowa, and he was there for a while, and he was. This is when Iowa was really good. Like they were winning a lot of games, doing very well in the Big Ten at the time, and so he hires this guy, or he tries to hire him. And Bill comes, and this is a guy who loves people, and so he goes onto the campus, and he starts talking to the students. They didn't know who he was, and he was asking them about Manhattan. He was asking about K-State. Every single one of them stopped. Took time out of their day. They were very kind to him, very respectful to him. Great conversation. And he looked around at the people. He's like, man, these are really good people. I mean, we're in Manhattan, Kansas. These are salt of the earth, good people. And he looked at the state of the football program, the state of the athletics department. He's like, these are all people that really care. And I think we could do something here. And so he leaves, you know, his successful offensive coordinator job to take the head coaching job at K-State. And you can go and you can see his speech on the day that he accepts the job. They have a press conference. He says something that is played before every K-State football game. He says, the greatest opportunity for a turnaround in college football exists here today, and it's not one to be taken lightly. He just stares into the camera, and he just says, we're going to do this. So 1989 season comes. A lot of energy, right? New coach. He talks to the players, and he's like, tell me what's going on. And he thinks that they're going to complain about the facilities. He thinks they're going to complain about the, we don't have enough money. He thinks that we don't have good cleats. We need to run different formations. We need to do this. And he's like, the players unanimously just told him, coach, we're just embarrassed. We lose. We haven't won a single game in our whole time as players here. Like that, none of us have won a football game. When we go and we play on Saturday and we lose, we don't go to class on Monday and we don't go to class on Tuesday and we don't go to class on Wednesday because we just are so embarrassed. And so he immediately recognized, okay, this is like a human problem. These are guys that are beaten down. These are men that are broken. So I got to build them back up. And so, and obviously there's a lot of other issues too. So he had the most intense winter conditioning possible, weeded out the team till there were like 40 guys left. And just like the only people that wanted to be there. It's like, if you want to be here, you'll be here. And a lot of people didn't. They didn't want to be there. They start the season. They play Arizona State. They lose. And they play their next game. They lose. And they play their next game. They lose. They're like 0-4 to start the season in 1989. They play North Texas. I don't remember what day it was, but it was the 1989 season, the fifth game of the season. And on like a last second play, quarterback throws a football route to the corner, scores a touchdown. I'm actually going to pull this up because this is, if you guys will bear with me, K-State eats North Texas. 1989 final drive. Because I want you guys to hear the elation in the voice of the commentator, Stan Weber, who's a father of a friend of mine, by the way. I want you guys to hear what he says. I'm going to try to pull it up here. There it is right there. Okay. Because this might make me cry when I talk about this. Present. Share screen. All right, let me know if you guys can hear this.
In the slot left, Hernandez the split in left. Flanker right is Jackson. The quarterback is Straw. Takes the snap. Back to throw. North Texas rushing. Near side pass to Hernandez. He got it. He got it. He got it. Touchdown. 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 K-State. K-State wins. K-State wins. Touchdown on the final play of the game to Hernandez. What it is. What it is. It's a big, 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 big touchdown.
And every run's running out.
Unbelievable.
Frank Hernandez was wide open. He ran a quick out pattern, got past the pylon. He was in the end zone. Very smart play. Straw threw the football with Roderick Manning in his face. Roderick Manning again broke right.
It's their first win in like years. And if you saw the video on the YouTube, there were like, I don't know, maybe 1,000 people in the stadium that could seat 20,000, 30,000 at the time. Small crowd, but they rush the field. They're so excited. You could see the players. They're so happy. They're so excited. That's the only game they won that season. They went like 1-1-8 or whatever. I don't remember how many games they played that year. But everyone's still doubting Bill Snyder. The media, they're being mean to him. You know, they're asking him, you know, where's this thing going? How come your players are no good? And he's sticking up for his team every time. He's like, you guys are coming here. You guys are being mean. You know, I hope you bring this type of energy when we're winning. you know. And he just, it was always, it was not a matter of if, it was a matter of when. And I've listened to Bill Snyder's autobiography, and you can just hear in how he talks about his players, how he talks about his program. He was a bit of a workaholic. He was a bit of a genius too, and he also had some flaws. Like, he ended up divorcing his first wife because he kept moving around to take different jobs for football, and that sort of ruined his first marriage. Moving from Texas to Iowa kind of sealed the deal on that one. So he's not a perfect man by any stretch of the imagination, but he was extremely dedicated. He would get up early, stay up late, always coming up with new plays, always coming up with new ideas. Most importantly, always paying attention to his players, always caring about his players. You know, there was a time when a guy was considering killing himself. Player runs, they don't go to the cops, they go to Coach Snyder. They say, "Coach, this guy is he's over at the lake. He's over at Tuttle Lake, Lake Tuttle, and he's gonna shoot himself, or he's gonna kill himself. I don't know if he's gonna shoot himself." And Coach Snyder didn't know exactly where he was. There's no Google Maps at the time, so he goes to the lake and he drives through all of the winding roads all around the entire lake to find this guy, and he finds a truck with a hose hooked up to the exhaust pipe and looped into the what do you call that? I don't know, where you sit in the car, the cabin. Anyway, and he like talks to the guy, builds a relationship with them, talks him off the ledge, you know, and the fact that he stuck around, stayed with these guys, especially for the guys that graduated that first year, who never got to see the success that K-State saw later. He made sure that they got jobs. He provided references for them. He said, "If you ever need anything, K-State football will help you in whatever way we can." Like, he just really wanted to build up these men. And I firmly believe that clip that I showed you, had K-State not won that game in 1989, I don't think I'd be here doing this podcast. And I want to explain. Some people, Emma laughed at me when I told her about this. "Hello, it's me from the future. Well, in this podcast, I'm from the future, but for you listening, I'm from the past. And if this ad gets used again, I'm even more in the past. But I'm not in the future for the future me that's recording a future episode that this ad is in. But what I'm going to talk to you today about is the Consecrate America campaign. We just had the year of the 3 years of the Eucharistic Revival and the big National Eucharistic Congress. But Carmel Communications is on a mission to consecrate America to the Eucharist. You can go to consecrateamerica.com. We're hoping that we get as many people as possible to sign a petition to the U.S. bishops to consecrate America to the Eucharist. As of right now, I'm looking at the page, 137,000 people have signed. They're aiming for 250,000. You head over to consecrateamerica.com. You can join the petition. Essentially, we believe that the people who believe in the Eucharist should continue to advocate for adoration, reverence in the liturgy. I mean, we can't just stop because the Congress happened and it's over now. It feels like it's over now. We have to keep going. And one of the ways that Carmel Communications is doing this, and they are petitioning the bishops to consecrate America to the Eucharist. 50 million American Catholics have left the Catholic faith in the past 30 years. It is time to stop seeking worldly solutions to spiritual problems. If we consecrate America, then we will be placing this into God's hands. We will be seeking out a spiritual solution to a spiritual problem. So head on over to consecrateamerica.com. Sign the petition today. I'd like to thank Carmel Communications for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. Go to consecrateamerica.com. Sign the petition now. See you later. But had Bill Snyder not come to Kansas State and invested in this program and cared about his players and like built them up to be disciplined mentally, emotionally, physically, and had they not just kept at it game after game after, you'd think that it was four in a row. It's like, let's give it up. You know, this is not it. But he kept going game after game after game until they won that one game. They got that one pass, you know, into the end zone. Had that not happened, I think they would have had a losing, you know, they would have lost all their games that season. There would have been no excitement. they would have dropped below the attendance levels. I think football would have been ended. Like, it would have been kind of like a Wichita State situation. They probably could have stayed a D1 school, but they wouldn't have a football program. They'd be removed from the Big Eight. And if those things happen, then the city of Manhattan stops growing. Kansas State, the school, stops growing. And instead of my mornings being spent when I'm a kid watching Darren Sproles play and my mom cheering him on and saying, I played for him, or, you know, I knew him, I'm probably watching, maybe I'm watching Darren Sproles play for KU, maybe Mizzou, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. I don't know. Who knows where Darren Sproles would have gone? I wouldn't have been cheering for him at K-State, because it wouldn't be a program. You know, I wouldn't have that with my family. There'd be no reason to go visit the school and to go see the stadium. And if the town's not growing, the school stops growing, the money stops flowing in, I probably would have gone somewhere else, right? Which means, if you've been with this podcast for a long time, you know that St. Isidore's, the Catholic Student Center at K-State, is a really big part of my life, right? I met a lot of my friends there. I had my huge sort of conversion to the faith there when I was in college. You know, I met the best man at my wedding there. There's a lot of really good lifelong friends through that place. I think St. Isidore's would have been greatly reduced. I don't think it would be. They just built a big, beautiful new church that's absolutely massive, right on the corner of the busiest intersection, you know, on campus. I don't think that would exist. I don't think I would have gone there. You know, who knows where I would have gone to school? Who knows if I would have gotten plugged in with Focus? You know, who knows if I would have ever met my wife? Who knows if I ever would have started this podcast, right? It just feels like a very interesting thing. And you can trace this back. You can do this for a lot of different things, right? Oh, if my dad never met my mom, like, obviously. But I do think that it's very clear that a lot of the trajectory of my life is somewhat rooted in the choice that man made in 1989 to dedicate himself to a place that was the losingest place in the history of college athletics, to the point where they were writing articles. Sports Illustrated has a famous article called Futility U, where it just talks about how bad K-State was at football. And all this to say, the next season, they win like 4 games. Season after that, they win 6 games, right? I think the season after that, 1993, I think they win 8 or 9 games. They go to the Copper Bowl, and they win the Copper Bowl. It's their I think it's like their first bowl game in history. Then they win. And so they go from being winless in 1988 to winning a bowl game. And bowl games, they didn't just hand out bowl games back then. There was like a real thing. And then the stat is, I can't remember exactly the years. It's between like 1994 and 2001. Their K-State had 11 wins in 6 out of 7 seasons in that stretch from 1994 to 2001, which is just kind of crazy to think about that. Like, yeah, like that's what we think of teams like the SEC and Alabama, Michigan, you know, Ohio State, Georgia. Like, we think of those teams or the teams that do that kind of thing. But K-State was one. It was a national powerhouse, and which is amazing, right? I don't even really remember. I just kind of remember Darren Sproles. That's really all I remember back in the day. Because I was so young. I was born in 96. So I sort of missed the reign of Bill as one of the greatest coaches. Bill Snyder ended up retiring, you know, 2016, 2017, one of only 6 college coaches in history with over 200 wins. And he did it all in one school. I think it's 200 wins at one school. So I think it's him and a few others, Joe Paterno, Nick Saban, you know, a couple other guys like that. But he's up there, right? He just never won a national championship. And so I've been thinking about Bill. I've been thinking about K-State football a lot, because to me, it's a really important reminder that one of Bill's big things that he talks about. He has these 16 goals for success. They're kind of cheesy, right? But one of them is do a little bit better every single day. And for some reason, that has just been a refrain in my mind for weeks. If I just do a little bit better today than I did yesterday, then eventually I'll get there. You know, I don't need to be perfect today. I just need to be a little bit better today than I was yesterday. And that was the mindset that Bill had with his players. So if we're just a little bit better today than we were yesterday, if we just do our absolute best every single time, if we are committed and disciplined, then we can go from being the absolute worst team in the country. It's just crazy because you can't fathom something like this today. The absolute worst to being one of the best, right? And so I think about that with myself. I feel like there's so many areas in my life where I am just the worst. Like there's just things that I can't get over. I can't seem to break certain habits. I can't seem to set myself up for success in the way that I would like to. I know that I'm capable of so much, and yet I always shoot myself in the foot. But thinking about what happened at K-State, and thinking about how it impacted me years later, right? Bill Snyder doesn't know who the hell I am. He doesn't know anything about you guys. He doesn't know anything about the Crunch Catholic podcast. He doesn't know anything about my family. You know, doesn't know any of that stuff. Doesn't know about, probably doesn't even know really about St. Isidore's or like any of the other auxiliary things that he maybe is aware that he's had an outsized impact on the school and the city. He's not acutely aware of it. Like it's wild to me that, that could be the impact that I have at some point, right? Which is kind of why I keep doing this podcast, especially like in a situation like this where my buddy Patrick is gone. You know, normally I would just say, all right, you know, we're skipping it for this week, which I'm probably going to do for the bonus episode. Sorry. I just don't have time. But like, I believe that if I keep trying to get a little bit better every day and I don't become complacent and I don't come up with the excuses that so many dads come up with when they start having kids and they get busy with work, is that I don't have time or I don't have energy to invest in things that are cool. I just got a new job at a place called BVM Studio. I'm so excited because I get to build something, right? But it's not going to be built overnight. It's going to take years to get it to where it's this cool, awesome, profitable business that is helping people. It's going to take years to get to that point. The podcast we've been doing for 8 years, it's kind of successful, you know, it's successful in that we've stayed consistent. There's people that care about it. I think Patrick and I are both committed to just keep trying, you know, keep going a little bit at a time. How much further can we get? And there's seasons, right? Seasons where it's easier, seasons where it's harder. I just don't want to give up. So I don't know what you guys think, but in my mind, I've really come around to sports being something specifically, and I think it's fine to just have one thing, right? For me, it's like, it's K-State football, it's K-State basketball. I like the NBA. I'm not watching NBA games, you know, maybe the finals. I'll watch the finals. The NFL, you guys know how I feel about the NFL. I'll watch the Super Bowl. Like, I think it's fine to pick something that you really like and just enjoy it. Invite people over, watch it with them. I think I'm going to buy a TV, keep it in the closet, right? I don't think I'm going to have it out all the time, but I think we keep it in the closet, bring it out for games, put it away. I think that's okay. Because when I bring my son to these games eventually in person, I can tell him this story, right? And I can tell him more of it as time goes on. I can tell my other kids the story of, this is really all the fruit of one man deciding to care and deciding to use everything that God gave him for something else. I'm not trying to hold up Bill Snyder as a saint, right? I don't think we can compare his story to you know, other great saintly figures that have done really amazing things, right? He's no Ignatius of Loyola. He's no you know, I'm trying to think of other saints that have like started. He's no Saint Francis of Assisi, you know what I mean? Although it is kind of a similar vibe, if we're being honest. So I'm not trying to replace, you know, the stories of the saints with the stories of a secular person. But for me, it's something that's so, it's so tangible, right? It's so real. And it's something that you can experience in a way that's maybe hits different than the stories of the saints. It's like, it's inspiring. This is like a, just a great man that did something really great for a small town in the middle of Kansas, 13 miles north of I-70, you know, that has a population of like 60,000 when school is in session. He like did something for that place, you know? And that's why K-State holds the record for out-of-state bowl game attendance, you know, in all of college football. I think it was the Fiesta Bowl when we played Oregon. Like we, I think we brought like 25,000 people to that game because people really care about that place because it means something, because it used to not mean something and now it does. You know, it's different. It's like when people hate Alabama fans or Patriot fans, it's like you weren't there when it didn't mean anything, you know? And I wasn't either, really. So I think it's important. So I just wanted to share that story with you guys. I don't know if that impacts you in any way. You maybe already turned this off 20 minutes ago, and that's fine. I told you I was going to do some, I said in the Discord, I was going to do avant-garde podcasting when Patrick had his baby. So it's late. I need to go to bed soon. I don't know when I'm going to do the dating corner. I don't know if I'm going to do the dating corner. But thank you for taking the time to be with me today. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Exodus 90. There's still time to join St. Michael's Lent. So go to exodus90.com/thecrunch. Check out your free trial, 14-day free trial, and catch up with the end of St. Michael's Lent. Shout out to Patmos Hosting Solutions. If you need someone to host your website or your services, your technology services, if you own a business, that's the place you should go. If you're looking for a job and you're young and you're a tech person, and you want to work for a good company that is, you know, focused on Catholic values, Patmos Hosting Solutions is the place to go. Shout out to Carmel Communications and Briefcase Marketing. I don't know if the Briefcase Marketing ad is up yet, but Patrick never told me. So I'm just going to shout it out there just in case. Thanks, guys. It was 47 minutes of just me talking. So hope you enjoyed it. Let me know what you think in the Discord, bit.ly/crunchdiscord. And if you're so inclined to help support the podcast, go to patreon.com/thecrunch. Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you, and we'll see you next time.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big.